may know today we are called to live happy. Are you living happy? Ask your neighbor, do you live happy? Some of you had a hard time answering that question. I think that if we look at Scripture, we can find out probably a good reason why we don't live our life as happy as we should, because Jesus gave us the outline to living happy. In the most famous sermon, his first sermon that he gave to us on the Sermon on the Mount, is an outline for our lives as Christians how to live a happy life. And so we've been looking at the Beatitudes, this outline that Jesus has given us on how to be happy. We looked at being poor in spirit. Blessed are those, happy are those. When we say blessed, that means happy according to Scripture. Happy are those who are poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are the meek, those who are gentle. And so today we're going to be looking at the thought, are you hungry? Are you hungry? How many is hungry in here? How many is really hungry? Now, how many is hungry for God? Anybody else? Okay. Some of you didn't know which one I was asking there. It's kind of a trick question, Pastor. You know me very well, don't you? But today, we're going to be talking about this question and answering this question. Are you hungry? It goes out of our text, which is Matthew 5, 6, which says it like this. Blessed, happy. So it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, if we were making our own list, if I asked you today before this sermon ever started, before this series ever started, to make your own list of, give me the top 10 things that will make you happy, that will achieve happiness, I wonder if any of those things would include the list of the Beatitudes. I mean, if we just sit down and said, what would really make us happy? If we made out a list, I wonder how many of those things would really make it onto the list that Jesus gave us. Probably not any of them, but very few. Maybe the super spiritual, maybe would have included one thing in there just so they can say I'm a super spiritual. Anyway, isn't that special? Okay, we know. We know today that God has called us to live a happy life. He's teaching us how to live a life according to his purpose. But if we made our own list today, these would not be on there. That's what's so radical about our Lord, because he didn't care about coming to make us, you know, to please us. He came to change us. He came to give us how it really is. And so he was very radical. Can you imagine the teaching in this day when he was teaching these things? Happy are those who mourn. Happy are those who are meek. Happy are those who go through times of having to make peace in their life. I mean, he talks about all these things. Happy are those who are poor in spirit. It doesn't necessarily fit what we think in our mind as being happy. Listen, these Beatitudes of Jesus, we know that Jesus is what? He is perfect, right? So if Jesus is perfect, and then his teaching is what? Perfect. And his outline is what? Perfect. So if you believe that there's a perfect order to way that Jesus lay things out for us, then we can follow this and realize that, yeah, Jesus, there's something to the outline of this scripture when it comes to the mandate of how we live our life. The Beatitudes are the way for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Really, that's what it is. The Beatitudes, these things we're looking at, being poor in spirit, mourning over our sin, mourning over the things we've lost, being meek, learning to give control up. So meek means to give, not to be a weak person, but to be a powerful person who gives control up of our life to the Holy Spirit. And so today, these are the way that we enter into the kingdom of God. We got to first realize that we're nothing without the Holy Spirit. We're nothing without Jesus. We're nothing. We are nothing without his mercy and grace in our life. But I would say to you this. These Beatitudes are not only the way of entering into the kingdom of God, but Jesus has given us the outline on how we are to live and succeed within the kingdom of God. Are you getting what I'm telling you? This is not just an entry point. We just don't do these things and apply them to our life to get into the kingdom of God, but it is an outline of how we are to live our life and to succeed within the kingdom of God. So it applies to our life no matter where you're at, whether you are a person who is on the edge of thinking, you know what, I want to make a decision to follow after Christ, or maybe you made that decision 20 years ago, these outlines still follow us today as the way that we are supposed to live our life. Because once you are in the kingdom, if you stop being poor in spirit, you're going to lose your joy. If you're in the kingdom and you stop mourning over your sin, you're going to lose your joy. If you stop being meek, if you stop taking control and say, I'm not going to give control up to the Holy Spirit in my life, you're not going to have any joy. He says, happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Notice what it says, that happy are those who hunger and thirst after success. Happy are those who hunger and thirst after popularity. Happy are those who hunger and thirst after riches. He didn't mention any of those things, did they? Matter of fact, we can turn on the news tonight and we can see the channels full of all those people who have popularity, who have success in what their field is. They have all the money they could ever spend, but yet they're the most miserable people, searching for answers. Cannot find. I mean, you know, there's four or five right now that are in the news every day right now. They just cannot find what they're looking for. Just cannot find. They have everything the world has to offer, but yet they're so empty. And when you see them doing the interviews, you're thinking, man, how could you have so much, but yet be so empty? And the answer is this, because they have not allowed themselves to hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's something that God has placed within us, this ability to hunger and thirst after righteousness. So let's answer the question as we get into this sermon today. What is righteousness? What is righteousness? This first definition, I think, will change your life. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the state of being righteous. You're like, wow, that's deep, Pastor. That's really deep right there. That's actually the correct definition. Righteousness is a state of being righteous. And so if that's a state of being righteous, then we need to figure out what is righteous then. So what is righteous? And righteous is simply this. It is being in the absolute rightness, correctness, and perfection in every area. Let me say it again. Righteous is being in the absolute rightness, correctness, and perfection in every area. This is righteous. And so today, if this is righteous, what's it mean? It means being correct in every area, in our thoughts, our actions, and our feelings, our mind, our will, our emotions. So let me ask you this today. How many of you are righteous? Anybody here righteous? I saw a couple of hands thinking, well, just yawning. I didn't know what was going on. Okay. What is righteous? We look at this question. Well, let's look at Scripture. Look what it says. We ask the question, how many of you are righteous? Romans 3:10 says it like this. It answers the question for us. As it is written. It's not justified. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one righteous, not even one. So how many today are righteous? If you raise your hands, we go, failed. But look what 2 Corinthians says in chapter 5, verse 21. I love the scripture. For he who made him who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. On our own, we are not righteous. But because of God's mercy and his grace, because he took the sin upon the cross, because he took perfection and lived it out on earth, and yet knew no sin, because he died, and he has adopted me upon salvation, upon his family, I receive his righteousness. I don't stand in my merit, because my merit, I fail. No one is righteous. None of us are righteous. None of us are perfect. Everyone here, I don't care who you are, even my wife, you've made a mistake. I tease her all the time. You know the worst thing she ever did in her life? She swallowed a little bit of scope one time when she was actually rinsing her mouth. I mean, she's so righteous. She's so righteous. It doesn't make a difference where you are today. Where you fall at in today, none of us are righteous except through the bloodline. Our bloodline, our heritage given us to us from the Lord. He bore the sin that we could become righteous. It's the only way. The only way we can obtain righteousness is through the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior. There's only two ways we become righteous. Be perfect in everything, or you can accept the perfect one. Plain and simple. Only two ways to be righteous. Be perfect in everything, and we fail. There's nobody can do that. or we can accept on our free will, accept the perfect one, Jesus Christ. We become righteous through grace. You and I, we were sentenced to death. He said, for the wages of sin are what? Death. You and I were sentenced to death. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are now sentenced to the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but we can say nothing else the rest of the day, and that should get you excited. I was once sentenced to death, but now through salvation, I have been sentenced to the kingdom of God. Talk about mercy. You talk about grace. Today, righteousness is given to us. We've been sentenced to the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't die so that we could act better. Do you know that? He didn't. He didn't die on the cross so that you and I could just act better. If he was just trying to change our behavior, he could have modified our behavior in a much easier way, couldn't he? I mean, you know, every time he messed up, he could just send down a bolt of lightning. You know, crispy critter time. Right there, we could be, oh yeah, he got my attention, God. He could do whatever it takes to get our attention. He could do whatever it takes, but Jesus didn't come just to modify our behavior. No, he came so that we, and he died on the cross so that we could be redeemed, forgiven. That we could be set free from self-righteousness and walk in his righteousness. If you live your life in a self-righteous state, you're going to be so unhappy because you are going to fail. If I try to live self-righteous, I'm going to fail. I cannot do it right on my own. I will fail. You fail. There's only one way to righteousness. That's through Jesus Christ. It's through accepting his grace and his mercy. It's through a personal relationship with him that he's given to us on the cross. That's the only way we can walk in righteousness. When we try to do it on our own, you're going to live so miserable. This is why we have so many people who, you talk to them, they're so miserable. They're out there searching for the answers. They're out there searching for so many things to feel the void in their life, and they just cannot get happy. Why is that? Because they're living in a self-righteousness. They're following after a teaching or religion that's teaching you just be good on your own, and that's going to make you happy. But yet they're some of the most miserable people in the world. Why is that? Because self-righteousness is impossible. It's going to lead to you being so miserable because you're going to fail. But when you realize, you know what? Even though I am a sinner, even though I've blown it, times in my life, and there's been times that I've blown it big time. Even when I've made the biggest mistakes of my life, I know that my God still has forgiven me. I know there's no sin in my life too big that God cannot forgive me. And that sets me free to live happy. That sets me free to realize, you know what? God's grace is so much bigger than my mind can comprehend. God's grace is so much bigger. We can't forgive that way. We have a hard time doing that. We have a hard time forgiving each other when we sin against each other and when we do things. We have a hard time. It takes us a long time to get over that. We hold grudges and we have to really work on forgiving people. But our God is not that way. The Word of God says that he forgets it and he forgives it as far as the east is from the west. And when we confess our sin to him, and man, he has already paid the price. He's on the cross. He already forgave it. And so when we accept his forgiveness and we confess that, man, it's gone. It's gone. And so today, we know that there's none righteous except through Jesus. To answer this question, what does it mean to hunger and to thirst after righteousness? Because he said these people will live happy. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. The hunger and thirst, you realize these are the two strongest impulses we have as human beings. The hunger and thirst, I mean, we really have a hard time in America really understanding this, that hunger and thirst is really a part of a need in our life because we have so much here. We've been blessed with so much. Have you ever had one of your kids come to you and say, I'm starving? Our kids come all the time, I'm starving, Dad! You know, you go to the fridge and it's full of food, and the cabinets is full of food. I'm starving! Is there? I mean, are they really starving? We really don't comprehend what it means to really, to hunger. But a third of the world really understands this. A third of the world will go to bed hungry tonight. A third of the world will go to bed thirsty tonight. Their just hoping to eat enough today or tomorrow just to survive, just to stay alive. They're hoping just to drink enough clean water just to make it through. And so when Jesus was using this illustration of hunger and thirsting, he was talking to a generation. He was talking to a people who meant food and water were the basic necessities. Above and beyond anything else, man, their whole day was centered about, we're going to provide food for the family. We're going to have some clean water. That was it. I mean, if you did that, your day was successful. Your week was successful. Everything else, you know, came and went. You know, it wasn't tied up with all the things, distractions that we had. But the day centered around getting enough food and getting enough clean water for your family to survive. And so when Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and they thirst after righteousness, people could really understand that people who hunger and thirst are really desperate. Matter of fact, you realize in our bodies today, if we didn't hunger and thirst, we would die. Do you realize that? If we didn't hunger and thirst, we would die. If your body didn't tell you you was hungry and you didn't eat, you would die. If your body didn't tell you you was thirsty, you needed a drink, you would dehydrate and you would die. So the ability of having hunger in us and thirst in us is not only nourishment for our body, but it also keeps us alive. It also tells us, feed yourself, drink, keep yourself hydrated. And when Jesus said, blessed are those, happy are those who hunger and they thirst after righteousness. They understood hunger. They understood famine in their land. They went through famines. And the people he was teaching to had walked through famines. They knew what it meant to be starving. They knew what it meant to be thirsty. Righteousness, listen to this, righteousness is a necessity. Without it, you will die. That's what Jesus was saying to us. Righteousness is a necessity. Without it, we will die. It means not only do we hunger for righteousness to get in the kingdom of God, but we should hunger and thirst after righteousness to continue in the kingdom of God. It's just not a hunger for righteousness to get in, but I hunger for righteousness as I'm in and stay in the kingdom of God. Look what Matthew 6:33 says. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We quote this scripture all the time. We live out that second part, don't we? Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. We say that a lot, but we oftentimes live out this part and his righteousness. We are to seek first God's kingdom, and we're to seek out and hunger after his righteousness, not our own righteousness. John 7:37 says, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall what? Never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus said these things about himself. Let me give this to you. At salvation, we hungered for justification. At salvation, we hungered for justification. We knew that we needed somebody to justify our life, to redeem us, to forgive us, to take away our sentence of sin and death. And so at salvation, we hunger for justification. But after we receive that justification and we enter into the kingdom of God, then our hunger and our thirst should not be for justification. It then becomes we should hunger and thirst for sanctification. And the word sanctification simply means this, to be set apart to be used of God. You notice the difference there. And so I'm never to stop to be hungry and thirsty for God. I hunger and thirst after my Redeemer. I hunger and thirst after getting into right standing with God. And then once I am in the kingdom of God, then my hunger and thirst is, God, I just want to be used of you. God, I want you to sanctify me daily, that I'm learning to grow in my relationship with you, that when I fall down, I get back up and I go forward and I set myself apart that I can be used for God's kingdom. And so hunger and thirsting never stops in our life. It should always be a process that we stay hungry, that we stay thirsty after his righteousness. Please, please, don't be satisfied with just justification. Because if you're just satisfied with justification, if you're just satisfied with getting into the kingdom of God, then you're going to live your life miserable as a Christian. Well, I thought once I accepted Jesus, man, I was just going to be happy. I was just going to live happy. No, Happy are those who continue to thirst and to hunger after righteousness. They will what? Be filled. See, many times we just accept Jesus and we come in and that's it. We think everything else is going to change in our life. No, we got to continue to thirst and to hunger after him. Say, God, I want to be set apart for your use. God, I want you to use me. Which brings us to the last question. What does it mean to be filled? Filled means to be, simply means to be gorged. How many know what it means to be gorged? Let me give you the American definition of that. Gorged in the American definition means actually Thanksgiving. That's what it means. You know how you feel on Thanksgiving when you just have eaten and eaten and eaten and eaten? You've ate turkey and dressing and ham and potatoes and gravy and sweet potatoes and salad and casserole and this casserole and a baked potato. You know what I'm talking about. And then pumpkin pie and the pecan pie and then the chocolate pie and the cake. And you get all this stuff and you're just... You know, you have someone roll you into the living room, just put me down right there, and you watch football for a couple hours, and you get up, and you do it all again. I mean, you just gorge all day long. It's the one day we give ourselves a free day, you know. But even the people who are on strict diets on Thanksgiving, man, it's all out the door. We don't care. It's on that day. We're going to set the world record for eating that day. We're going to eat until it's up to our eyeballs. We gorge. This is what it means to be filled. The scripture is talking about here that we are totally full when it says to be filled. It says, blessed, happy are those who thirst and hunger for the Lord, for the righteousness. What? They shall be filled. Full, completely. Full of what? Let's see what scripture says. Psalms 107, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills what? The hungry soul. Blessed are those who are hungry with what? Goodness. So I am thirsting and I am hungry, and what does God fill me with? Goodness. Oh, Pastor, that's just one scripture. Look what Jeremiah 31:14 says. This is Jesus. Look what it says. And if my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, and my people shall be satisfied as filled with my goodness, says who? Says the Lord. God wants to fill us with what? His goodness. Why his goodness? Because this is the very nature of who he is. When Moses asked God to show him his glory, remember that? When Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. Now, when we say the word glory, what does it mean? When someone asks the glory, it simply means, what are they famous for? What are they most known for? If I ask you, what is Michael Jordan's glory? What would you tell me? Basketball, okay? If I say, what's Denzel Washington? What's his glory? Acting. We know these are famous people. We know what they're good at. We know what they're famous for. Already you're thinking of games. You're thinking of movies. Things that happen. This is what was happening here when Moses said, God, show me your glory. He was asking God to show him. The glory, man, what are you famous for? And it says when God passed by that he revealed his goodness to Moses. I mean, about all the things that he could have shown him, he revealed his goodness. To you and I, that's so powerful because it tells us that God was saying, this is what I'm best at. Let me tell you what I'm best at. I'm best at being good. What's it mean that when he's talking about being good here? It simply means this, that he's best at when we don't deserve it, that he does it for us anyway. When we don't deserve forgiveness, he forgave us anyway. When we rejected him and we ran from him, when we mocked him, when we didn't live for him, he still bore the stripes upon his back. When we didn't deserve his forgiveness, he still took the cross and walked it to Calvary. He still willingly laid his life down because of his goodness. Even though none of us deserved it, even though we were total failures many times in our life when it comes to sin, he still shows us his goodness because that's what he's best at. We look around and say, well, he's best at creating the heavens and the earth. I mean, look what the job he did at creating the heavens and the earth and the universe. He's best at doing this and that. We think of all the things, but God says, you know what I'm best at? My goodness. My goodness. This is what I'm best at. It's my goodness. And for you and I, that's so overwhelming because we can't comprehend that kind of goodness. When someone does something nice for us, we're like, oh, what a nice person. I can't believe how good they were. But we can't even begin to comprehend how good God is. God was saying, I want to show you my goodness. I want to fill you with my goodness. So how is it possible to be hungry and full at the same time? You ever thought about that? We're supposed to be hungry and thirsty, but yet we're going to be filled? Isn't that kind of contradictory? You think thought about that? I was reading this, thinking about it. So how is it possible? We're supposed to be hungry and thirsty, but yet we're going to be filled. Let me ask you this. Have you ever known somebody who can never fill up? I got three of them living in my home right now. I called my boys, growing boys. I mean, they would just eat you out of house and home. Anybody else understands what I'm talking about? You got kids. It's not just the boys. Sometimes these girls, dude, this is bad. You know what I'm talking about. Chocolate. Just like machine gun going off. Pizza. You know, by the slice. Just going. The other day, we went home on a Sunday afternoon, and my 8-year-old son, 60 pounds, soaking wet, you know, he's just, wind blows a certain way, I got to hang on to him. He just takes off. He's so light. He eats a couple plates full of chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy, and I lay down on the couch, fell asleep. I was taking a short little mini nap, and I woke up to the sound of cereal being poured out. And his brother saying, Hayden, that's your second bowl of cereal. I mean, he just ate 30 minutes ago, and he's eating two big old bowls of cereal. This kid's only 60 pounds. He's probably eating 15 pounds of food in 1 hour. I mean, there's something about, you know, these kids, they eat, and can't be filled. This is the same kind of process that happens in our life, that we are to be hungry and thirsty, and even though he's filling us with his goodness, how is it possible to steal? You know, God has made you and I hungry. This is what he did in our life. He made you and I hungry. He made you and I thirsty. But he also made it that the only way to quench that hunger, the only way to quench that thirst is through him. And so if you're looking to quench it through self-righteousness, if you're looking to be filled through other things in your own life, you will never be able to feel it. You can eat, you can eat, you can eat, and it'll never be filled. The only way to feel it is through God's goodness in your life, through righteousness. And so how do I come in and receive that? How do I receive more of God and get filled? Because I need him all the time. Well, the good thing is this, our God is infinite. He will never run out of goodness. Our God never runs out of goodness. I run out of groceries at home all the time. I have stock in Walmart. I believe me, I'm just down there every day, just filling up my basket all the time. My kids are eating me out of house. I actually run out of food. Our God never runs out of goodness. Every day is like you're alone in Sam's Warehouse, and you're the only one who's got to consume what's there. You can never consume enough. You can never consume all. He continues to have more and more goodness for our life. He wants to reveal his goodness to us. He wants to reveal it to us in a way we can even comprehend. So it's possible to come to church, to leave full. God, I come. How many get filled already today into worship? You're like, man, God's just filling my heart. So it's possible to leave full of God's Holy Spirit, to leave full of God's goodness, and to walk out and say, you know what? I can't wait to get some more. Because blessed, happy are those who hunger and they thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, with nobody looking around but me, I just want to ask you this question. You say, Pastor, you're talking about the righteousness of God, only getting there in the righteousness of the Lord. I'm going to ask you, if you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I'm ready today to get into the right place with him. I want to make sure you have this opportunity. I do not want to leave here until you have the most important opportunity you'll ever have in your life. That's to ask Jesus Christ into your Lord, as your Lord and Savior, into your heart. No one's looking around but me right now. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way at all. But I just want to ask you this question. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I'm ready to make things right with God. I'm ready to make him my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand where you're at and show me? Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready to live for him today. Anybody here today, raise it high where I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these two today to raise your hand? Anybody else today? Say, I'm ready. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity. Say, I'm ready today to make a life-changing decision. I'm ready today I'm ready today. Anybody else, and you haven't raised your hand yet, can you raise it right now? I want to make sure you have that chance. We're going to say this prayer today together. Especially those who raise your hands, I want you to pray this prayer, but we're going to say it along with you as a congregation. Let's say it. Say, Dear Jesus, I ask you today to forgive me my sins. I give everything I am. I give it to you. All of my hurt, all of my dreams, everything belongs to you. I will live for you from this day forward. I believe you are the Messiah. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say welcome to the family of God. Just give them a hand clap. Yeah. For those of you who prayed that prayer and you meant that today, we ask you to stop by our information center before you leave today. We got a free Bible and some other things we want to give you just to tell you what to do next with the next steps and a part of your salvation process. But I'm going to invite the rest of us today to stand up where you're at. We're going to close out with a new song this morning. As we do close out the new song, it's a very simple song. Everybody say Jesus. One more time, say it loud. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
You already know most of the song. You know your part already. It's a song that says God simply says whisper his name. And when we say whisper his name, you're going to whisper Jesus. When they say call on his name, you're going to say it just a little bit louder. And when we say shout out his name, you're going to shout out the name of Jesus. You'll follow the lead. You'll catch on. But today, what's going to happen is this, is that we're saying, God, I am hungry for you. I am thirsty for more of your goodness. God, I am hungry for more of your goodness. It's not just a place of justification. It's just not a place of walking in and getting justified and then I'm done. No, it's an everyday relationship with Jesus Christ that changes my life. It's an everyday thirsting after him. Let me tell you, if you are not thirsting after a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to miss it. And you have missed it. The only way to get salvation, but the only way to live a happy life is when you hunger after him every day. Believe me, I've hungered after pride things. I've hungered after status things. It's empty. The only way to live a happy life is say, God, I hunger and I thirst after you and your goodness every day of my life. Because I need it every day, you need it every day, and we can learn to walk in God's goodness. It changes us. It changes. I can walk happy no matter what I'm going through because God's goodness and his mercy is there. It shall follow me all the days of my house. And I shall walk in the house of the Lord forever. That's what the psalmist said. Goodness and what?
Mercy.
It shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will what? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Yes.
Even though I walk through a layoff, even though I walk through a sickness, even though I walk through a divorce, even though I walk through disappointments, you will not leave me because your goodness, his goodness, Rob, his goodness, it changes my life. His goodness, Lord, it changes my life. His goodness, Christy, it changes my life. His goodness, it changes my life. And I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Let's whisper his name together.
Call on his name.
come in today or leave and feel. Are you leaving field today? Are you leaving field? Give your hand, happy praise. Amen. We're going to leave field, but what's going to happen? I'm going to walk out hungry, right? Knows the difference. I'm going to leave field, but I'm going to walk out hungry. Hungry for more God, more of our life today. Justin, come this morning. He's going to close us out in prayer. Thank you so much for being here today. Make sure you get involved in a life group tonight. And say, God bless you.
Lord God, we want to thank you so much for your filling, God. Lord, we thank you that you created a hunger and a thirst in us, God, that only you can fill, God. And Lord, as we lift our hands, God, and as we call on your name this week, God, Lord, we pray that we would see you move in powerful ways, God. Lord, that we would be so famished, God, thirsty for you, God. Lord, that we would search for you, God, with all our hearts until we find you, God. Lord, because we know that you said that if we seek you, then we'll find you, God. And so, Lord, we pray that you would seal this word in our hearts, God. Lord, that we may see your goodness, God. And we may experience your goodness every day of our lives, God. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.